first speaker, Bonnie B. from Baltimore. Give it up for Bonnie.
Hi, family. My name is Bonnie, and I'm an addict. Let me first give thanks and praise to God of my understanding, because without a God of my understanding, I don't think I'd be standing here today. And second, to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, who loved me until I learned how to love myself. This is actually a second tradition meeting, which states there is but one ultimate authority. You know, I'm a little nervous. Bear with me. For our group purpose, there is... Can't see that far. Thank you. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern.
Thank God.
Because when I came around to Narcotics Anonymous, not only did I come in here whipped, but I came in here trying to continue to save my business. I was a businesswoman. I had a magazine, and I was in charge. And you did what I said you did. I didn't listen to it. I didn't want to hear it. I was the boss. I signed the checks. And if you didn't like it, you could leave. And I thought that's the way life was. I mean, I thought that once those who had the money ruled. And I ran with that for a very, very long time. But the blessing for me was when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I got involved in service right away. However, part of service is working through people. But I took the same behavior into service work. We're going to do it this way. It has to be here. You set the coffee here. You cannot touch it. I'm in charge. And it's done my way. And you know what confusion that caused. But thank God for Narcotics Anonymous people who learned to love me in spite of me and showed me how to love somebody else and took patience with me until I learned to love myself. And it's a process. I started with some step work because I had to know who I was. So before I could deal with you, I had to deal with me. You know, come in here, I don't have a problem. If I can just get rid of the drugs, I'll be all right. But the problem was me. And I needed a power greater than me. When I first came in here, it was the group. When I'm sick, I go to the doctor. That's a power greater than me. It was the party meetings that kept me coming back, a power greater than me. But then there was a void. I needed a power greater than me that I could have faith and trust. And so I began my steps. And when I got to that third step and made that decision, I had to practice that. I had to continue to practice because I take my will back at the first chance. Because don't you know who I am? And so as I began to look at me, and as I began to trust and have faith, I started to believe. Okay, so I'm working on me. Now I have to deal with you. And I didn't know how to do that. And I was introduced to the traditions. And I thank God for them. because I wanted to be in service. I enjoyed being there and helping somebody else, but I didn't know how to deal with somebody else. I said I did. I mean, I worked at our service center. I did coffee. I served as hotline chair. I did all those things of service to take the focus off of me, you know. But I still had the same behavior that I had, and even though I was clean. So as I sat down and started to take a look at me and started to have faith in a power greater than me, I said, okay. I had to get some humility. Well, first of all, I had to surrender that I can allow you to have a thought and I could listen to what you had to say without judgment. Oh, that was a hard one. Ooh. Because remember now, all my life I had to be in charge. So I didn't want to hear it if you didn't agree with me. And I had to learn that I'm not in charge of anything, and you have a right to your opinion. You have a right to stand up and say, I think we should try it this way. Because prior to understanding the 12 traditions, the 12 concepts, and the 12 steps, I'd say, yeah, you're right, yeah, that's very good, and then we do it my way. Because I didn't want to hear it. Because I was smarter, or so I thought. But I came to understand that you have an opinion. And I'm not in charge anyway. And that was hard. To surrender, to have that humility, to know that I can say, I don't know. You have an opinion. Let's listen to what you have to say and allow you that respect. That's what the second tradition has done to me. To allow you to have the respect for another human being, whether I agree or disagree. Because I don't have to agree. But I have to give you you have the right to have an opinion. Oh, that was hard. Faith. Faith is something. Because I had to practice it and practice it and practice it and still practice it on a daily basis to be able to say, if I have faith, step back and take my hands out of it and wait. Because I couldn't do that one either. You know, one thing I heard around here, and I'm so thankful for, is you can make the plan. It's okay, but don't plan the outcome. Because I planned the outcome too. And then beat myself up when it didn't go the way I expected it to go. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Because see, now I'm playing God. And I'm not. But I thought it was. I was a God over you and a God over you because see, I had the money. So if you wanted some drugs, if I wanted some drugs and I was too scared to go out and get some, I had the money. You go take the risk, and then you'll bring them back because I'm paying for them, and I want them all. And here's your bit. Because I didn't know how to surrender control. I didn't understand that I wasn't running anything. Until I came here. I didn't understand that. Humility. Whew. Being able to stand up here and tell you, I don't know. Because see, I know at it. You say, the sky's green. Yeah, I know. And I find myself sometimes doing it at work. I mean, on a daily basis, I have to surrender. On a daily basis, I have to remember to have some humility. and some acceptance and some patience and all of those good spiritual principles that I knew nothing about until I came here. The other day on my job, and I got this here, integrity. Guy on my job who was my manager lied. You know, he lied now. And he went to his boss and lied. And I'm saying, okay, my previous behavior would have said, I don't want to cause no waves. I need this job. But I learned that if I have faith and I prayed about it first, I went to him. You know, this brother and I said, oh, no, I caused this thing. Let me be honest. I'm a union rep, so I knew the rules. And I said, you can't, you lied. You falsified these documents, and I wanted to take them to inspections, and you're going to lose your job because you lied on me. Now, see how unbalanced that was. Yes, he did that, but it wasn't intentional. He was covering his butt, and I understand that today. But, you see, I have integrity today. And I prayed and asked for an answer from God. And I stood up and said, yes, you cannot lie on me. You cannot falsify a document. But here's the big girl stuff. The big girl stuff is, I said, all I want is an apology in writing that you'll never do this again. And I had him by the... And I could have squeezed it till it fell off. And I would have, until I came here and understood that I can win without bragging and showing off, because I got a God of my understanding that fights my battles, and I got people who care and love me, who I love, who I can go to and say, I need help. How do you handle this situation? What do? All here. All through Narcotics Anonymous. All through these traditions showing me how to deal with people. Because I didn't know. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. I have a group conscious. We're in our group conscious. I didn't understand that it's a collective decision. See, so they made me the secretary where I took the notes, you know, for the group conscious. So therefore, I would run the meeting. Or I took over the meeting. Let me be honest. Took over the meeting. And, all right, next. We finish this topic next. Because I was a business person, and that's how I had to do in business. I'm not in business here. I'm learning to live with people today. But see, I had to be careful. Because I had one of those home groups, if you volunteered, you had the job. They forgot that there are some spiritual principles we have to look at before we pick our trusted servants. So you could have 30 days clean and nobody felt like secretary and you're it. Then they steal the money. And then the next 6 months from now, we need another treasurer. I'll do it. Okay, he's an addict. Let's give him another shot without proving that they deserve it. I didn't understand that one either. You know, I said, we're all thieves who come in. I'm a thief. I stole from everybody who would allow me to. No, not allow me. Wrong choice of words. I stole from everybody I could get, anything I could get my hands on. And I'm saying, hey, we don't want that person no more. I'm judging them. Who they think they are? They're going to come in here and steal our money like it's mine. Because it was my money. I was running the group. But as I got into this process called recovery, and I thank God for these traditions, it said to me, you don't have to be in charge. It's going to run. You know, I agreed to open the door at the meeting to be the secretary and be there on time, and I had to be there a half hour. And I just beat everybody up if I couldn't be there that half hour on time to set up the meeting and open up and, you know, all those things. Until one day, someone said to me, but the meeting will go on. Without you or with you. I didn't think it would, see. Because if I wasn't there, it wasn't set up right. The literature wasn't here. They didn't go get everything they needed to get. Control. That's the only way I knew how to handle stuff. I felt comfortable if I was in charge because it would be done my way. But you've taught me that a power greater than myself is the ultimate authority. Bottom line. But I had to practice getting that. And I had to practice and pray about it and hear what God has for me and talk to God and listen to God and listen to people and then make a decision. And then let go and leave it alone. Because if I say I have faith, if you have faith in a God of your understanding, then allow him to do what he does. It took a long time for me to get there. And I'm still growing in that process. I'm still growing. But every day I see something different in me because now I can recognize these character defects when they come out. When they come out, you know, I'm going through this illness called hepatitis C, and thank God I got 4 weeks left for treatment, and it's undetectable, thank God. And I'm bitching and complaining because it's the worst kind of feeling of this medicine, and all day long, it took all my hair. I had thick, coarse, beautiful in my eyes hair. And I've been bitching about it all day long because now it's thin, soft, and the minute I step outside, it just puffs. You know? And all day long, I'm in the gum, you know. And I shared about it with my friends, and you know what they told me? Thank you. But what can I do about it? Nothing. Except the things that cannot change. Courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God there's a program here. Because see, when I came, I wanted to change the steps to do them the way I wanted to do them and the traditions to do what fit me. So I'm saying, well, look, I'm in service, you know. I mean, first 2 years I'm in here from having my business to having nothing, all I had to do is service. Thank God. Because that's where I was supposed to be. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Because I don't think I would have stood up here today. Because see, I couldn't talk to you without 5,000 drugs in me. You know, and I used to have a drug just to stand up and say hello. Well, let me get that joint. Okay, where's the dope? What pill am I taking today? You know, and then wonder why I stand up and fall down. You know. But now I stand up and say, my name is Bonnie, I'm an addict, and I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And I thank all of you here today and all of Narcotics Anonymous, these 12 steps and these 12 traditions and these 12 concepts for leading me to understand who I am, but most of all, giving me back my spirit, my body, and my mind. Because I didn't know that was part of the process. Thank you. And if you're new in here, I'm telling you, keep coming back. Because as it says, more will be revealed. And as you get into this process, The more you delve into it, and the deeper and deeper the meanings become, and the more your mind expands and your heart improves, and the more you can take the focus off of yourself and put it on somebody. Listen to me talking this one. My friends in here know me. I didn't do anything for anybody without saying, what's in it for me? But today, it's not about me. It's about helping a newcomer or someone else work through this process. Get to a God of their understanding. Open up their hearts and their spirits. And seeking that God of their understanding, because once you get him in you, you don't ever want to let it go. Now I take my will back every now and then, and I get what I'm supposed to get as a result of that. But it doesn't last long today. You know, it used to last forever and ever, and then I beat myself up, then I'd be depressed, and then woe is me. But I didn't use. Because I understood that was not the solution. I remember that last days. Clearly. And I don't want to be standing up in my bedroom looking out the window with a crack pipe in my mouth saying, where am I going to get some more? As I try to go to one of my clients smoking crack in his bathroom. I'm in there to sell him some advertising. But I can't say two words because I'm in the bathroom. The man said, where is she? I thought we had at 10 o'clock in the morning. Because it didn't matter. Didn't matter whether it was 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. It was the getting and using and finding ways and means to give a period thinking nobody knew. At 110 pounds, size 5, okay? But it's not like that today. Today, I can get along with people most of the time. And today, I can step up and say, I'm sorry. I'll try not to do that again. Try not to do that again. And sometimes I do. And a lot of times I speak before I think. I'm working on that one. You know, that's a process for me. It's getting to where I'm starting to think first. Because, see, I always thought I was clever. You know, so I would just say it and forget. I may be hurting somebody's feelings. I learned that here. Because your feelings didn't matter. At all. But today it does. And I'm working on that area. I have a lot of work to do in that area. And that's one thing I pray about on a consistent basis. Still my tongue. Because once I put it out there, I can't take it back. And you know, you talk about humility. What does it say? You keep doing things. You keep not being humble, you're going to be humiliated. Over and over and over again. That's me. But once I got the second tradition and I understood the spiritual principles of it, I love this book. Spiritual principles of that second tradition. And the most important part, besides leading to an ultimate authority, is our trusted servants. We're not in charge. What's it say? We do not govern. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Thank God. Because if an addict like me was governing, the room would be empty. Because I'd have run everybody out of here, as I did in all my life. Nobody wanted to be around me, and I don't blame them. Not today, thank God. My name is Bonnie. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you, Bonnie. And for the second part of this meeting, Cindy R. from Rockville will be sharing with you. Let's give it up for Cindy.
I'm an addict named Cindy.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm very glad to be here. Even though I'd really rather be back in my hotel room sleeping. But I didn't get clean and stay clean by missing meetings. And I didn't get clean and stay clean by turning people down. They asked me to serve. And you did a really good job. Thank you. I guess I'll skip a lot of the background stuff because I used a long time. I got here. I got into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I got involved in service. And as you know, Bonnie was talking about, I didn't come in here spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive. And I had a lot of impatience, a lot of judgmentalism, a lot of habit of pretending like I knew everything because I didn't know everything, but I wanted you all to think I did. I remember having about a year and a half clean and whining to my sponsor that I was finally getting to the point where I had something left over my paycheck at the end of the month and I didn't know how to invest it. And I was like really down on myself that I didn't know this. And you know, her response was, well, have you ever taken a financial planning class? No. Have your parents ever sat down and explained a lot of this to you? No. Did you ever learn this anywhere? No. Then why do you expect yourself to know it? Oh, you know, so so I started getting a clue that maybe I didn't have to know everything and I could just ask and that would be okay. And if you want to think of the steps as, you know, working on me and the traditions as working on how I get along with those around me or how we get along with each other, then the step work really has to come first to a certain extent because, you know, in my first service position, I was the coffee maker in this meeting and it was a smoking meeting and I was a smoker. And then all of a sudden I became a non-smoker. And I decided that it should be a non-smoking meeting. So, and nobody else was on my agenda. I don't know why. But I learned a valuable lesson because what happened was I brought it up in a group conscience and we ended up actually coming up with what seemed like a very good compromise, which was we had the chairs like in rows like this. We decided to make it a big circle and make one half smoking and one half non-smoking. And that wasn't good enough for me because it always seemed like I would be like next to someone who didn't know that I was in the non-smoking half and saw other people lighting up and would light up, you know, even though there was no ashtrays on my half of the room. And I also made sure of that. There were no ashtrays near me. And I learned, you know, with the help of a sponsor that the traditions actually are there in some ways to protect us from ourselves. And we, you know, as a collective fellowship did not come to NA because we were happy, healthy, you know, productive people. You know, we all came here with a lot of baggage and, you know, needing help. And so part of that help is learning to get along with each other. And I really had to get to a point with me where I was learning to rely on higher power as my own personal ultimate authority before I could really feel comfortable that the meeting was going to be okay if it wasn't my way, but that if it was the collective group conscience way. And I also learned that a group conscience is not necessarily the same thing as a group opinion. Because when I first got clean, I just voted with the nicest people that I liked the most in the meeting because I had no clue what was going on. And slowly but surely, I started having opinions of my own. And those opinions were just my own. They weren't necessarily spiritual principles and work that were in the best interest of the group. and the group's primary purpose, which is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. You know, sometimes my opinion is not how I need to vote in a group conscience meeting. And that was also something that took me a really long time to learn. And it also took me a long time to learn that not everyone else in the meeting was at the same place I was with that understanding, and that I needed to not judge them and let them vote whatever way they were going to, whether it was an opinion or a conscience that I felt was based on the best needs of the group. And this actually came up very recently, like probably in the last 2 or 3 months, in a way that was, it could have been very, very derisive for my home group, and it was for a few weeks. And what happened was, it was not my home group. I'm not really comfortable being in a position of controversy, or certainly not being the center of it. But what happened was, there was a meeting that was my sponsor's home group, and there was a guy there who had started the meeting like 7 or 8 years ago, who brought his dog every week. And he had checked with the church was okay, the group conscienced it, and it was okay. And my sponsor always was like, why don't you come to this meeting? Because I was like, what meeting do you go to that I can see you at? Well, that was the one she was definitely going to be at every week. That was her home group. And I said, well, I can't go. I'm allergic to dogs. And I am. And I went there once, 2 or 3 years ago, and I just couldn't go. I just couldn't go because the dog was running around the whole time. It was brushing up against me, getting the dog fur on me, whatever. So I didn't go back. And I got called by the secretary to lead that meeting a few months ago, and I left a message. We were playing phone tag. I said, you know, I would love to come lead, but I can't. I just can't go to that meeting. I'm allergic to dogs. I said, and actually, you'd be doing me a really big favor if you ask Frank, I mean, this person, not to bring his dog on my sponsor's anniversary, which was coming up like 2 weeks after that or whatever. And so I went to her anniversary, and the dog was left in the car, but there was kind of like this ooky feeling around it. And nothing else was said until then she said, well, I talked to this person, and he's going to leave his dog out in the car whenever you come to the meeting, so can you come lead it for me? And I said, well, okay. So it just happened to be group conscience night that night, and so I asked, you know, what could be done about this problem, because I wanted to make it my home group, but there was just no way I could physically be there with the dog. And everyone was there who was there, which didn't include the guy with the dog, said that certainly that was not a problem, that the primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, and certainly if it's between a suffering addict and a dog, there's just not, it's a no-brainer. You know, the dog stays home, the addicts come to the meeting. And so I felt kind of good about that. And I went to the meeting next week, and the dog was there. And so he shooshed his dog out to the car, and he came back in, and then he announced at halftime that we needed to have a group conscience. And it was a painful, painful process. And I have to tell you, like I said, I did not want to be the center of controversy at all. And I certainly did not want to have it discussed with me there. You know, I really would have been more comfortable letting them all hash it out and then me just coming after they all decided. But he brought it up when I was there, and so we had this group conscience. And he had a lot of hurt feelings about it. And part of that was, you know, his lack of understanding, my opinion, his lack of understanding of the second tradition. You know, he really had trouble letting go of the fact that that wasn't his meeting. He had started it many years ago. It still retained a flavor of his personality, but it had shifted over time. And even though the process of talking it out in that meeting and taking the vote was really painful, enough people voted with me. Well, no, see, that's not right. Enough people voted with the spiritual principles of addicts needing recovery and no outside issues getting in the way, that it was decided that the dog would no longer attend the meeting. And I have to tell you, people stood up in that meeting and said really hurtful things. Things that hurt my feelings, things that hurt his feelings. I mean, it wasn't supposed to be about me versus him, and it never was, and he's been a friend of mine for years and is still a friend of mine. But there were several weeks where it was very difficult for us to even like talk to each other and hug before a meeting. And when there were people who left the group conscience and said, I can't believe we're even voting about this. That's how upset and emotional people were. I like to think that the ultimate authority prevailed and that the group conscience prevailed. The doll doesn't go to that meeting anymore. And even though I have really worked hard, I mean, this is a fairly recent occurrence, I actually still am retaining resentments against some of the people that voted for the doll to stay. I mean, that's me. That's what I need to work through. That's my piece. But I honestly think that the correct decision was made. You know, it says in the basic text, we try not to do or say anything that will give an addict an excuse not to come back to our meetings. And I have enough recovery that I can go to other meetings. I can call my sponsor. I don't have to see her meeting. But it was brought up to me that some people were afraid of dogs, and some people expressed dismay that that dog was there. Some people were uncomfortable with it and didn't come back to that meeting. You know, these are the things we have to think about. You know, you can't carry a message to an addict who's afraid of a dog if there's a dog in the meeting. And that's just one example. I mean, I could certainly give a lot more. It says in either the basic text or that works how and why, I'm not sure, in the second tradition that the goal of the group conscience process is unanimity. And that is, the vote should be unanimous. That's the goal. It's the ideal. It's something you strive for. It certainly doesn't always happen that way, and a lot of times it doesn't. But if everyone is really thinking about what are the spiritual principles behind this issue, not am I going to get my way, you know, as people talk it out, everyone is allowed to have their opinion. Everyone's opinion is valued. And you hash it out. You know, you work on it. You say, we need to pray for our higher power to work through this conscience to help us make the right decision for the addict who still suffers, who's seeking recovery. And that's me. I'm still an addict suffering. You know, I think that that will be how I die. You know, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get it all right before then. But I like to think that the group is shaped by a higher power, not necessarily by the individual people. And there are meetings that get very personality strong. There's a meeting in my area. I go to it about once a year. It's a Friday night meeting. It's about a 3-minute drive from my house. And I stay 20 minutes and I say, this meeting is still the same. I can't hack it. And I leave. As a matter of fact, for a long time it was called Bruce's meeting, but Bruce doesn't even go there and hasn't for years, but it still has the same flavor. And it's a heckling meeting. It's like a bunch of guys who have been clean together for 10 or 15 years, and if you're there and you're not part of all the inside jokes, you're an outsider. It's like girls' cliques when I was in junior high. It's a very uncomfortable place for me to be, and I can't stay for the whole meeting. I had some like ideas how I would gather a bunch of my friends and we'd go take the meeting over and turn it into a real NA meeting and all that. And I may still do that. But the one thing I have learned over time, especially when I remember I'm not in control, is that even though I might be cringing internally at what a specific person is sharing or how a specific person is chairing the meeting, I have to remember that everyone has their own higher power. And there might be someone sitting in the chair right next to me that is hearing exactly what they need to hear tonight to stay alive, even though I am shutting it all out and making the grocery list in my head because I've heard it 100 times. And usually I need to be listening too. And I try to. But those are the things I've learned by sitting there and listening to people cut other people off and say, we don't share that here. We don't share that here. Or you'll have to discuss that with your sponsor after the meeting. And I've actually been glad a lot of times to have people cut off in meetings, but I still always worry about it. I still always worry about what is that going to do to that person. You know, It's a real thin line to decide where to draw the line between this person has now totally kidnapped the meeting and there's no end in sight, or this person is saying exactly what at least one other person needs to hear. It's difficult. And I don't know the answer to that. See, that's why I generally leave it up to the group conscience process. If I had all the answers, I wouldn't be in Narcotics Anonymous. I'd be, well, I wouldn't be president either. I don't know what I'd be. I wouldn't be president. But the other half of this step, excuse me, tradition, I'm very nervous, states that our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And I don't know if this is unique about me, but I'm not real good with authority even now. So I was really glad to come into NA and find out that the person who was setting up the coffee wasn't going to tell me how many cups I could have or whatever. And on a more spiritual nature, you know, it was also important to me that the people who were running the meeting were facilitating it. They were helping things go smoothly. They weren't running it. And trusted servants is, I see that as a two-way trust issue, Street. If we are going to elect these people, we need to trust them with the positions we gave them. And they need to trust us as their supporters, the people who voted them into group treasurer or whatever. They need to be able to trust us to back them up in whatever they need to get that job done. And you were hitting on it before. That means don't give someone with 2.5 months clean and no checking account and a bad relapse sheet, you know, the treasury. You're setting that person up. You know, give it to someone who can handle it. I mean, you never know that for sure. We're all addicts. But you can usually know when someone's real new, real fresh, real green, you know, that person doesn't need the group's money. Or maybe they do. I really have to have faith that our higher power is working in our lives. And in my home group, I have to believe that recovery is being served up to anyone who wants it. And I need to do anything I can to facilitate that process, and I need to do nothing beyond that, because I have control issues, I have power issues, I have judgment issues, and none of those have a place in a group conscience process. And with that, I'll just keep coming back.
God, the ultimate authority, something I strongly believe in. I'm not going to go into the traditional elaboration that, you know, you were saying, but one thing I always thought of is that God was a supreme being. You know, the way that we all want to strive to be in life, the ultimate example of the way that things should be. Good orderly direction is something I always heard that it's called in NA. And I can remember ever since I was a child, you know, I was a strong believer in a higher authority. And I was thinking about how when I was a child before my addiction, I was like really religious. I went to religious schools and public schools, and I was in art school. I was very active in sports. And for me, you know, it was a pleasure for me to go out and take a walk down a path in the woods, you know, just to sort of let it all go when no one was around, you know. And one thing I always had in my mind when I was taking those walks, it's like, this path was here? Who put this path here? Who took these steps before me? You know, and I always thought, you know, God must have meant for me to be taking these steps, or there wouldn't be a space for me to walk these steps. It's kind of interesting. And I was only like, what, 12 years old when I was thinking these kinds of things. And that's about the time I had that twist in my experimenting as a teenager, and I can still remember. I kind of regret what I did, but, you know, time went on, I became addicted, and, you know, but here I am in recovery today. Make, you know, long story short, because I had a 20-year addiction. And I can still think back to that day, and I say to myself, these steps that we have in this program, God must have put this here for me. This program must have been put here for me, for people like me, so that we can take example, so we can learn to help ourselves like others before us. And for me, it worked. I'm very successful today, where I wasn't in my active addiction. I've done things in my recovery that I never thought I'd do. I got a degree in college. I'm still in college today. I'm studying to be a psychologist. I went through rehab. I got my license back. My family looks at me like a different person. It's like night and day. The rehab I was in, they nominated me for the Life Achievement Award. They saw so much change in me. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was NA that helped me to look the way that I did for them. But like I was saying, it was here for me. I'm honestly saying, without NA, I don't think I'd have made it to where I am today. But to stay into recovery and to stay a success, I have to keep doing what I'm doing in my life and what I believe is right and what is the ultimate authority for me to look up to. So I have to keep doing that to be successful and to stay clean is what started it. So I'm going to stay clean. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
My name is Irvin.